Thank you, Chase. I mean, Lane. I always call Lane Chase. He reminds me of Chase a lot. And thank you, Bill. And thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. Certainly want you to know that it makes me happy to see every one of you out. I pray for you always, and pray that we'll all be able to contend for the faith and continue to be faithful so that we'll be ready to receive that reward of heaven someday. And so, certainly really thankful for our visitors. This morning, my lesson's going to be a little bit different than a lot of them that I bring. At least to me, it's a little bit different. But that's okay, because it does come from God's Word, and that's what matters. It doesn't really matter what I say unless it equals what God would want us to say, because it's His words that matter. Most of the lesson today will be brought, the abundance of it, from Acts chapter 26. So if you have your Bible with you, you can turn over to Acts chapter 26, and most of the lesson will come from it. If you're familiar with this section of chapter, you'll recognize that this is where the Apostle Paul goes before King Agrippa. He has been falsely accused by the Jews. He's been imprisoned in Jerusalem and brought before King Agrippa of Judea. And he is being put on trial there. Ultimately, the Apostle Paul appeals to Caesar as a Roman citizen. Some may not know that Paul was both a Jew and a Roman citizen as well. So he ultimately appeals to Caesar, and winds up being taken to Rome after this incident. But it's interesting, because what winds up happening because of that, if you go back and you read all of these accounts, there were some in Caesar's own household that were converted to Christianity. Okay, and so good came out of this by Paul going to Rome and being there, because he continued to preach the gospel. Okay, he continued to be ever steady, even though he was in prison. And God provided opportunities for him, even in a difficult situation. So that's something to think about, too. But Paul had been falsely accused by these Jewish leaders, and this is where he finds himself in this day. And I'm going to get to a point in a minute that I want each one of us to think about, because there's something very sad that happens at the end of this chapter. And it's something that I hope never happens to any of us. So I'll let you know the secret in a little bit. But until then, be thinking about the Apostle Paul. You know, on this earth, there's a lot of false accusers. We're all going to face a judge one day where there'll be no false accusations and no untruths. Everything will be seen. What we did in secret, what we even thought, will be brought forth. Jesus Christ will be a righteous judge, and he will know every single thing, and he will do it according to his righteousness. And so here, the Apostle Paul was taken before a man that is subject to all of the imperfections that that man has, not being perfect, and also being falsely accused by people here on this earth. Well, on that day we go before the Lord, we're not going to be falsely accused, okay? Everything that we've done, every idle word that we have spoken, will be right there and revealed, and we will answer for everything. We will. All knees shall bow, all tongues shall confess. There'll be no atheist on that day. Everybody will know that Jesus exists and that there is a God. And we already know that, but there's a lot of people that don't, but they will on that day. Now, as you look at this, as the Apostle Paul has had all of these things accused against him, eventually, King Agrippa allows Paul the opportunity to speak. Paul requests this, that he be able to speak, and King Agrippa allows him to speak. And as Paul speaks, Festus, near the end of that speech, calls him mad, calls him crazy, basically. And this is Paul's reply to Festus' accusation that he's mad or crazy. Starting in Acts 26, verse 25 through 32. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus didn't hide those things when he was walking around Jerusalem. They were in the open. They went to the temple and taught these things, did they not? So the king certainly would have been aware of the things that were being taught in the temple and things that were going on there. And so Paul knows that he is familiar with the things that are being talked about, things he's being accused of, and what was going on. And so he declares it here. None of it was done in secret. They didn't hide behind walls as a secret society and teach things like some groups teach you. You got to have secret handshakes and you got to do this and you got to do that. No, Christianity is to be taught. We have to declare Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to confess him before man. If you won't confess Jesus Christ before man, Jesus will not confess you before the Father. And so these things that he's being accused of, there was nothing that was held in secret. They did it all out in the open. And yet he's being accused as if such. The king doesn't even know what was going on. He does, and Paul tells him that it was. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul knew that King Agrippa believed the prophets. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. And in verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I, accept these bonds. In other words, I wish that you believe just as I do and have accepted that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and have chosen to follow him. The only thing that he would not, that they would be just like him in, is the fact that he was a prisoner. That's it. Because the Apostle Paul knew that his state was the state that all of us should desire to be in, because it's the saved state. It's the state that on that great day, or that terrible day, wherever you may be found, if you're not saved, it's a terrible day. But if it's that you're saved, it's the most wonderful day ever for you, because that's the day that you will receive your reward. Your king, your crown of righteousness, and you'll be going to heaven. So he says it clear. And he goes, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. In other words, he certainly don't need to be put to death, but he don't even do anything worthy to be in prison at all. This stuff is nothing. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Apostle Paul appealed unto Caesar. It appears here that Agrippa was willing to set him free. But here's the thing. Think of all the good that might never have occurred if the Apostle Paul had not been put in prison in Rome. Think of this. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Some of Caesar's own household were saved as a result of the Apostle Paul being there. That is amazing. That is amazing. Think about that. Think if I had the opportunity to be able to go to the White House and have the ear of the people in the Capitol building and the White House, and if I could convert even some, even one, how much good could come from that? People in very powerful places that now believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ and would want to live for him, the good that could come from that. And so we need to be praying. We need to be praying for our leaders in that effort. And we also should be praying that we can live peacefully in a righteous manner amongst these people. Are you praying for that? The Bible specifically tells us to pray for that. But have you been doing it? Oftentimes I think we don't study the Bible enough to realize just how we should pray. Number one, we should pray fervently, shouldn't we? We should believe that God has the power to answer our prayers. Not only that he has the power to do it, he will answer it. Now, the answer may be no. But if we're praying properly, we already understand that we want his will to be done, right? His will is better than our will. Jesus prayed for his will to be done. And when he gave us the model prayer, he told us that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, his will, God's will. And so we should want his will anyway. Now, that thing that's so sad is this. When Agrippa answered him and said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost." Some people might say it this way in this day and time. Almost, but no cigar. Close, but no cigar. What a terrible thing to get that close and yet not get there. Think about that. Now, I'm going to use that phrase in several different ways, and every time I use it, I'm going to give you the verse number for where you can understand that this is something that you should know. So if you want to write these verse numbers down, you can. But this is what I want you to think about on several things that you can almost be, but you're not. Almost be persuaded, but not quite. And I want you to understand that on every single one of these, and there are many, many, many more that I could have written down. We wouldn't have had time to go through them. But I wrote these down because I want you to think. I believe that people put off things over and over and over again, and they almost get there, and then they don't do it for whatever reason. But the fact to remember is that King Agrippa was almost saved, but then he wasn't. So I want you to think about that as we read these. Almost thou persuadest me to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Matthew 22:37. What if he almost persuades you to do that, but yet you don't? That is a command that Jesus gave us. He said that it was the first command. You can't be pleasing to Jesus Christ if you don't love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, everything. In other words, everything. You got to love God that much. And let me just tell you something. He knows if you love him that much or not. We may can fool man, but we can't fool him. And I want to tell you something else. It's not impossible to do it either. We just can't let other things get in the way of that. Don't almost get there. Get there. And when you do, you're going to be better off for it. Not just on that day, but even before that day. Because I can tell you, when you can live with total peace, that is a much better place to live. And in order to do that, we've got to get there, not almost. Almost thou persuadest me to love Jesus above all others. Matthew 10:37. If you love father, mother, or any other person you put there more than you love Jesus Christ, and your actions dictate whether you do or you don't, then you're not going to get there. So you can almost get where you love Jesus more than you love your husband or your wife or your child or your mother or your father. But not quite, because, you know, on Mother's Day, it's the only day I come to church, because really I love my mother a lot more than I love God, so I show up that day. But I might not see you again till Christmas time. That's not loving Jesus the way we're supposed to. Let's not let us almost be persuaded to love Jesus above all others. Let's be completely persuaded to. Almost thou persuadest me to preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Look, I know you're sitting there, you might be female, and you're saying, hey, I can't get up in the pulpit and preach the gospel. It doesn't mean you can't share the gospel with people that you have opportunity to. You can share it and then get them to come. We all have to share the gospel. We can't seal it up in our heart and say, hey, I've done my part because I know it and I'm not worried about anybody else. You can't almost be persuaded to go and share the gospel. You have to share the gospel. Almost thou persuadest me to love my neighbor as myself. Not more than yourself, not less than yourself, as yourself. Do you truly love your neighbor as yourself? You can't almost do it. You know your neighbor over there is having a hard time with their yard. They just can't get out and do it. And you walk by every day and look over there and say, wish they'd mow their yard. Well, maybe they can't afford to get somebody to do it, and they can't do it. Go do it. Go do it for them. Ask them if you can do it for them. You know? Let's show other people that we do love them, because we love God so much that we want to take care of our neighbor, too. It'll come back, and it'll come back and glorify God, because the reason we do it is not because we're so good and wonderful. It's because God told us to do these things. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Check on your neighbors. Do good unto all men. We certainly should do good unto each other as Christians. We're a family that's more important even than blood family. Hopefully your blood family is also your Christian family, your spiritual family. But the thing is, we're supposed to do good unto all men. Let's don't almost be persuaded to do that. Almost thou persuadest me to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Oftentimes, I think we get into the mindset, well, they did this to me, so I'm going to give it back to them. It's not what he said. He didn't say that. Matthew 7:12, he said, do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. When they do bad unto you, do good anyway. It's like pouring hot coals upon their head. So let's don't almost be persuaded to do good unto others, to do as we would have them do unto us. Even when they do bad unto you, you do good unto them. And guess what? You might win their soul, because they might respond to that when they didn't respond to anything else that's ever been taught to them. Your actions can make the difference in whether or not somebody is willing to respond sometimes. Now, they have to make that decision for themselves. Let's make it easier for them. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Okay? Let's not be chargeable to any man. Let's not be chargeable. Almost thou persuadest me to forgive others. Matthew 6:14-15. If you're holding a grudge from anybody at any point in time, you haven't done what God told you to do. He said, forgive them. Be willing to forgive them. Now, let me explain something to you. I say it this way. I already go ahead and forgive even if they hadn't asked for it. Now, this is what I mean by that. They don't get the benefit of it. I don't go over there and tell somebody before they've repented of what they do. I've already forgiven you, so it doesn't matter. Really, a lot of times I've seen people do that, and they're slapping them upside the head, and then the person's madder than ever. No, what I'm saying, in my heart, I've already determined that I'm willing to forgive them. And that way, I can let it go. And if they ever get their heart right, and they come and ask for forgiveness, it's easier. You see what I'm saying? You're ready to forgive them. God won't forgive us until we've repented of our sins and done what he's told us to do. But he requires us to be willing to forgive. Are you willing to forgive, or you like some people have told me before, I will take it to my grave? I hope they don't. That would mean that they willfully sinned unto death, and I don't want people to do that. I want them to go to heaven. Almost thou persuadest me to study to show myself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. You hear me say it almost every time I stand in the pulpit because it's that important. I know I got 6 Bibles over there in the house laying around, and boy, I almost went and picked it up and started reading from it. I got one on my phone, man, I almost did, but you know, I got more interested in this other thing that popped up as soon as I turned it on, and so I spent 2.5 hours researching what that one thing popped up in front of me. Happens all the time. No. If the phone is a hindrance to you because every time you open it up, it pops up something that it carries you away, turn that off and pick up this one. This one right here won't do that to you. This one, you turn and flip the pages and you read it and you study it and you meditate on it and you pray about it so that it will become part of you. It's the bread of life. We're supposed to eat it. You are what you eat. If you're eating the bread of life, let me tell you, you're going to be a whole lot better than if you're not. Almost thou persuadest me to love and pray for my enemies. Ooh, that's a tough one. It's tough. Matthew 5:44. But it's not an option. He told us to do it. We can't take the Bible in a buffet manner and choose what we like to do and do it, and then that other stuff say, hey, that was for them other people over there. They just wrote that down for somebody else that was willing to do that. No, it's perfect, complete. It thoroughly furnishes a man unto all good works. All of it. Okay? So, can't be buffet. Can't be buffet Bible people. We have to pray and we have to love. We've got to pray for our enemies and love them. And we can. He did not require us to do anything that we could not do. Not one day. Almost thou persuadest me to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Almost. I meant to pray today, but I got busy. Something came on TV. I was working. Look, you can be praying when you're going down the road. You can be praying when you're sitting at your desk. It's not about the glory of men. We pray. We have a prayer leader to help each other concentrate on the prayer. But when you're alone, you can pray. Or when you're in a group and they say you can't pray, you can pray within yourself. They never remove prayer from the schools. The only people that believe that is the people that didn't teach their children to pray within their self. I taught my children, it doesn't matter what they tell you, you can pray wherever you're at. They don't have to know you're praying. Pray without ceasing. We need to be doing that. The righteous, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you believe it, you'll be praying. Okay? You'll be praying without ceasing. Almost thou persuadest me to honor my father and mother. It's getting harder and harder to do. You hear more and more children bow up against authority in general, but their parents too. And I'm not saying that honoring your father and your mother means that even when they ask you to do something against God, you do it. That's not the point. But you should live your life in a manner that brings honor unto your parents. You should live a life that honors God, and if you do so, that is an honor to your father and your mother, even if they don't know it. Okay? Because you're going to be a righteous person. You're going to live according to God's laws, God's morals, God's ethics, not man's situational ethics. Well, I'm over here, and I'm a politician. I better say this to this group of people because I think they believe this. Ooh, I'm over here now. I better say this because that'll offend them, and I'll just make lots of people mad at me. Do you think the gospel of Christ makes people angry? Yeah, because it makes them mad that they can't do whatever they want to and still get the prize. People hate to be told that. They can't stand it. That's Ephesians 6:2, by the way. Almost thou persuadest me to obey my parents in the Lord. Colossians 3:20, the same thing. If they're telling you to do things that are godly, you better do them. If they're telling you things that don't violate God's law, you better do it. And you better do it with cheer. You will be blessed for that, young people. Almost thou persuadest me to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, I want to get real close to that light, but I really like to be on the edge of it because there's some things right over there in the darkness that I kind of like to do. 1 John 1:17 says, you got to walk in the light as he is in the light. And then his blood cleanses us continually. Almost thou persuadest me to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. People don't like to pay their taxes. Jesus read the inscription and said, whose is this? Caesar. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. He didn't tell you to break the law. He didn't care. He was under the most oppressive government ever. And he obeyed the law as long as it didn't require him to break God's law. So he set the example for us. And that's Mark 12:17. Almost thou persuadest me to give as I have prospered with a cheerful and honest heart. Every Lord's Day we give of our means. 2 Corinthians 9:7. We shouldn't give and say, oh, I hate to put that money in that plate. We should want to put as much as we can in there so that it can be used for God's service. Not because, you know, we have this idea that, ooh, they're going to, somebody's going to take that money and whatever. No. The widow who put her mite in, Jesus said she had put more than all of them because she gave everything she had. He didn't require us to do that. That's not what he said. But her heart was so pure that that's what she was doing. She wanted to give of all she had. She didn't have much, but she gave what she had. We need to have a better attitude when it comes to giving of not just our money, but of our time. Because all the time that we have is God's time. He gave it to us. He created time. Almost thou persuadest me to love my wife as Christ loves the church. Ephesians 5:25. We know what Jesus did for the church. It speaks for itself. Husbands, you need to look at that. I have to look at that every day. If you're a wife, almost thou persuadest me to submit to my own husband in everything. Ephesians 5:24. Look, it says it. It doesn't give a but clause, a B-U-T clause, or an I-F clause. It says it. Just like it tells the husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. There's no but clause on that, no if clause on that either. But, now I'm going to use the but, we have to make sure that each of us, regardless of what the other's doing, that we do what God wants us to do, even if our spouse is not. It's not about what your spouse is doing or not doing. We get caught up in that because we want to be even. That's our nature sometimes. They didn't treat me good, so I'm going to treat them bad. We already saw where almost thou persuadest me to do unto others as I'd have them do unto me, right? So we got to go back to that. Almost thou persuadest me to listen and hear the gospel. Now look, we're in that part that we always hear at the end now, okay? But I'm giving it to you in this way. Almost thou persuadest me to listen and hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. These are all familiar. Almost thou persuadest me to believe the gospel, Hebrews 11:6, John 20:31. Boy, what a terrible thing to almost believe the gospel. Almost thou persuadest me to repent of my past sins, Luke 13:3 and Acts 17:30. Again, what a terrible, terrible place to be, to almost be there, not to do it. Almost thou persuadest me to confess my faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:10 and Matthew 10:32. Again, what a terrible place to be right there and not finish it. Almost thou persuadest me to be baptized for the remission of my sins, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and 1 Peter 3:21. If you already made it up to all those other places and you get to that point where you got to choose whether you're going to walk that aisle and come up and make that confession, and state that you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you've done repented because you know you've got sin in your heart, you've heard the gospel and it's tugging on you, and you just, I think I want to go up there, but I'm embarrassed. I feel ashamed. I will remind you, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was prostrate. And he begged if there was any other way for that cup to pass from him so that man could still be saved and he could do it where he didn't have to do what he was going to have to do. Let it be so. But he said, nonetheless, thy will be done. Jesus sweat as drops of blood that night. But yet the next day he died on the cross. And if we can't come forward when we need to repent of our past sins and be baptized to put him on, to be buried with him, immersed in that water, buried with him so we can rise back up a new creature, so that we can have all of our sins washed away, so that we can have that hope that he has promised us if we've been obedient to him, of being in heaven with him someday, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with him reigning on the right hand of God, and their glory being there, and we in their presence forever. But that requires you to not almost be persuaded to do it. It requires you to be persuaded fully to do it, and to come forward and to do those things, and then live faithfully unto death. Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. There may be somebody here that's done all those things, but there's something in their life today that is separating them from God, and it's called sin that has not been forgiven and taken care of. Because you see, God cannot be in the presence of sin. He can't even look at it. And if it's there, you're separated from his protection. And you need to make that right. And he gave us the avenue to it. We can ask for forgiveness if we've already become a Christian. We can come forward and make that right now today. So that we don't have to worry about it anymore. So that if something happens and we die, or if the Lord were to come in the next few moments, we would already be there. We'd be ready. Our lamps would be fully oiled, and we'd be ready to go in with the bridegroom. We'd be full-fledged members of the church. And let me tell you, only the church is going to heaven. Jesus is coming back to get his kingdom and take it home. And his kingdom is the church, of which he is the head. There are no others that will be admitted. The door will be slammed in their face. And that's a choice that we don't want to have thrown upon us. So don't be almost persuaded this morning. Be fully persuaded. If you have any need whatsoever, we ask that you come forward as we now stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and